Well, you can turn in your Bible this morning to Matthew 28. We're going to read an all-too-familiar passage this morning before I get into what I want to share. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The reason I read this scripture this morning is because every day that I was at the convention, this was emphasized. And it was actually the theme of the convention is we are Great Commission Baptists. And so it's a good reminder. I know it's a scripture that we're all familiar with and we know, but it's a good reminder. And let's read it together. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so, you know, as we've said, Leslie and I had the opportunity to attend the Southern Baptist Convention, the annual meeting, this past week in Nashville. And, you know, I learned one thing is that I would not want to live downtown in a big city, because that's where the convention was, and we stayed in a hotel downtown, and it's downtown living's not for me. I come from a small town in Texas country, and St. Charles is just fine for me. But we had an opportunity to attend the annual meeting, and we hadn't been to a national meeting in many years, but we felt this year it was important for us to be there because of some of the things that we had been hearing in recent months concerning our convention. And there had been talk of cover-ups. There had been talk of adopting unbiblical theories and ideologies and division. And so it was important for us to go and see for ourselves what was going on. Now, if you don't know anything about what the annual convention is, it's basically a big business meeting, I mean, for lack of a better term. And I think we're familiar with what a business meeting is. It's similar in some ways to our own business meetings here. I mean, at the meeting, we heard reports from our agencies. We voted on the 21-22 budget. We elected a new SBC president. We adopted several resolutions and motions for the coming year, and I'm going to talk about those in just a minute. But it's a time for us to hear from seminary presidents, the president of Lifeway, president of the International Mission Board, the president of the North American Mission Board, from our SBC president, from our executive director, from committees and things like that. We heard reports from them. Because the way we're structured in our convention, even though we're part of a convention of churches, every church is local and autonomous, so we govern ourselves. We don't have a mandate from the national convention say, you must do this, you must observe this, you must give to this. We decide ourselves what we want to do. And our leaders in our convention are accountable to the messengers. So, as Leslie mentioned earlier, we were elected as messengers from our church to go on behalf of our church, as well as lots of other churches, and we sent messengers. This church sent messengers, us, to the convention to vote on their behalf. Now, each church that contributes to the cooperative program can send messengers. It's not based upon how big or small you are. It's based on your cooperative program giving. And so, based on how much we give, we could actually send 12 messengers to the convention. So, we give quite a bit as compared to the size of our church, which I'm very thankful for and glad that we do. So we could have actually sent 12 to go to the convention. Now, if every church could send that many, I don't know where they would put us all, because there was like 16,000 people there, and it was pretty cramped. But, you know, you've probably seen some of the news reports about the convention, maybe in the national news, and I hope that you haven't believed everything that you've read, because it's most likely not true, or at best a skewed version of what really happened. And so this morning I want to share with you some of the highlights that I'm really excited about. And maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is the Southern Baptist Convention? What in the world are you talking about? Well, again, as Bogey Hills Baptist Church, we are part of the St. Louis Metro Baptist Association, which is a group of churches of like-minded faith. We are part of the Missouri Baptist Convention. That's our state convention. And then we are part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And it's churches that adhere to the Baptist faith and message. The Baptist faith and message is not the Bible, but it's what we believe about the Bible. It's what we attest to as a church, what we agree to, how we agree to function. And so our convention is called the Southern Baptist Convention. Years ago, we were a part of a convention and we broke off between Northern Baptist and Southern Baptist. And to be very honest with you, the history of our convention is not a pretty one. Basically, the reason that we broke off from the other conventions because at that time, our convention endorsed slavery. And we're not proud of that. It's just a history of why we are Southern Baptists. Now, we have since atoned for those sins, and because that was sinful, we have made restitution where it needed to be. We have repented. God has forgiven us. We've moved past that. But that is our history, and you can't sugarcoat that at all. It's not something that we're proud of today. But back then, it was a different philosophy, and we understand that years ago doesn't have any bearing on us today. But that is the reason we're called Southern Baptist, for that very reason. There are some people that want to get rid of that name because of that reason, and I can understand why. It's been proposed that we change our name to Great Commission Baptists. The name is not so much the thing, it's the people that most is important to me. But anyway, that's why we're a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So here's some highlights that I wanted to share with you just very quickly. First of all, we elected a new SBC president. And the president of the Southern Baptist Convention is somebody that's usually a pastor. They're elected every 2 years. And basically, this man serves as the moderator of the annual meetings. He attends all the executive board meetings of the SBC. Now, our person that was our previous president, J.D. Greer, he actually served 3 years because last year there was no convention because of COVID. And so it was kind of an unprecedented thing for him, but he agreed to go ahead and serve 3 years rather than 2 years. So this year we elected a new president. There were four gentlemen that felt they wanted to put themselves out there to be the president. I'm not going to tell you who all they are, but I'm going to tell you a couple of them. Every one of them is nominated. There's a nomination from the floor, and it's, you know, you can actually go online and see all the proceedings. It's all been videotaped and everything. But everyone of the presidents is nominated, and then once all the nominations are given, then we vote. And so we pulled out our ticket and we marked the name of the person we wanted to be president. Leslie and I voted first of all for Al Mohler, who is the president of Southern Seminary in Louisville. We felt like he would be solid. He's solid in his beliefs. He's known and been trusted within the convention for a long time, and so we voted for him first. Once they got through the initial round of votes, no one of the presidents had received 50% of the votes, and the bylaws say that it has to be 50%. So then we had a runoff between Al Mohler, another guy by the name of Mike Stone, and then Ed Litton, who is the pastor of Redemption Church in Saraland, Alabama, just outside of Mobile. And so at that second time, we voted for Ed Litton because our guy was gone. It's kind of like the primaries in a presidential election. Once your guy's gone, then you got to vote for another guy, you know. So our guy was gone, so we voted for Ed Litton. He eventually was elected our president. Again, he's the pastor of Redemption Church. It's an SBC church in Alabama just outside of Mobile. And I believe Ed Litton will do a fabulous job as our president. After he was elected, Dr. Mohler, the one that we voted for, highly endorsed him. And I respect him, and I believe that he'll do a great job for us. So Ed Litton, if you want to look him up, you can look him up on Facebook, or, you know, he's got a website, his church does, and you can find out all about them. Now, my brother-in-law Jason said that he was my doppelganger. I didn't really see it. Maybe he's an older version of me. I think he's 62 or something like that. I don't know. Maybe he does look like me. I don't know. My wife could tell you better than that. But anyway, I think Ed Litton will do a great job, and I'm excited about him being our next SBC president. So let me talk about some of the resolutions that were passed, okay? A resolution, if you don't know what a resolution is, basically this is our opinion as a convention. This is what we believe. It's not law. It's not legislature that was passed or anything like that. It's just our opinion as a convention of what we believe. And there were two ones that I want to point out that were very important, and I'm glad that were passed. First of all, was a resolution on the part on the sufficiency of Scripture for race and racial reconciliation. Now, at the end of the service today, I've got both of these resolutions typed out in full that I will put on the back table, and you can take them home and look at them for yourself. So basically, this resolution, in part, it states that we reaffirm our agreement with historic, biblically faithful Southern Baptist condemnations of racism of all forms, that we reject any theory or worldview, including critical race theory, that finds the ultimate identity of human beings in ethnicity or any other group dynamic, that we reject any theory or worldview that sees the primary problem of humanity as anything other than sin against God and the ultimate solution as anything other than redemption found in Jesus Christ, that we reject any theory or worldview that denies that racism, oppression, or discrimination is rooted ultimately in anything other than sin, that we reaffirm the 1995 resolution on racial reconciliation that was passed at the 150th anniversary of the Southern Baptist Convention, that includes that we apologize to all African Americans for condoning and or perpetuating individual and systemic racism in our lifetime, that we genuinely repent of racism of which we have been guilty, whether consciously or unconsciously, applying this disposition to every instance of racism. And then finally, we affirm that our reconciliation in Christ gives us the opportunity and responsibility to pursue reconciliation with others so that we can display and share the hope of the gospel to the world. Now that's part of it. Now I've got, yes, that's great. You can clap. Praise the Lord. I heard every one of our seminary presidents, our leaders of IMB, NAM, anybody that was up there, say that critical race theory has no part in the Southern Baptist Convention. That, yes, there is racism. Yes, there is a thing that racial reconciliation needs to be looked at. But our authority is God's word, not on a theory based on Marxism or atheism or anything like that. And so the SBC was looking into using that as a tool a couple of years ago. It was considered to be something that at that time would be beneficial. After people looked into it further, realized what it was, basically we're saying it has no part in the Southern Baptist Convention. The Bible teaches love your neighbor as yourself, and that's what we need to teach. If we could get that right, if we could focus upon that, then racism is sin, and the Bible calls it sin, and we focus on God's word, not on a theory or a worldview that leaves out God entirely. And so we don't need that. And the convention took a firm stand against that. So I was pleased with that. The other one was a resolution on abolishing abortion. And let me just say that the SBC is very pro-life. We've been very vocal about being pro-life throughout the years. It's passed multiple resolutions over the years to prove so. And so this new resolution calls for the abolition of abortion without exception or compromise. So it's very strongly worded and basically just saying, we're going to lay it on the table. Here it is. This is what we believe. Now, there was some conflict about the incremental approach to ending abortion because this resolution at first said that we reject, that we will not embrace an incremental approach to ending abortion. Some people had a problem with that because, and I can understand why, because most politicians have to take an incremental approach to ending abortion. If you look at within our own state of Missouri, our Missouri legislation, which is a super, we don't want the world to say, well, you know, this is what you did and you mishandled this. No, we didn't. We looked into it. We found that we did or we didn't. If we did, we're going to deal with it. If we didn't, then here's an independent counsel that shows that we didn't. And so it's just a way for us to show the world that we are above reproach and that we want to handle people and difficult cases like that with the utmost care and to give people that have been abused, if that's the, you know, if something has been handled, we want them to know that we love and care about them and we're going to take us, we're going to stand up with them. And so I think that's a very appropriate thing to do. And so that was a big thing that was passed. And I was glad that we were able to pass that. So that was another thing. Very good. So again, we heard great reports from the International Mission Board. We heard great reports from North American Mission Board, our six seminary presidents, from Lifeway, from the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, from our executive director, Ronnie Floyd, from our president, J.D. Greer. And again, every one of these men all condemned CRT and reaffirmed their adoption of the Baptist faith and message. And so I felt that was important because I had heard some things, quite frankly, about some of these guys. And I was even questioning some of their leadership. And I was kind of wondering, you know, the things that I'm hearing don't quite match up. It just kind of gives me a bad feeling in my gut. And I wanted to hear from them, from their mouths, as they stood before 16,000 people, let's hear what you believe. And they all, every one of them, condemned, you know, any theory, including CRT, that it goes against God's word and the adoption of the Baptist faith and message. And so our leadership is strong. Our leadership is grounded in the word of God, stands upon the word of God as being the infallible, sufficient word of God. And so we can be rest assured that our leadership is leading us in the right way. And I was glad to be able to hear all of them say that. And it changed my mind about some of them. Again, I heard things. And you can't believe everything you hear. So it's good to hear people from their own mouths talk about these things. And so I was glad to hear what they had to say. All right. And then, so one thing that I want to share with you this morning, just in the time that I have left, is a vision that was put before us for our convention. And I'm really excited about it. And it's called Vision 2025. And so, Dennis, if you want to bring up that first slide there. That's the logo, Vision 2025. Go back one. There you go. And so Ronnie Floyd, who is our director, our executive director, gave forth a plan for our convention to reach people for Christ, to emphasize the Great Commission. I mean, we are failing when it comes to leading people to Christ. The numbers of people leaving our convention, the number of people leaving our churches, the number of baptism, those are all on the way down. And so we have to do a better job as a convention of churches to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this vision is something that we hope to have accomplished by the year 2025. That's why it's called Vision 2025. And so there are six strategic actions that are a part of this. And I'm not going to go into big detail. We'll be talking more about it later. But I want to give you the highlights of some of those. So here's strategic action number one. Increase our number of full-time, fully funded missionaries by a net gain of 500, giving us 4,200 full-time, fully funded missionaries through the International Mission Board. This is what we want to focus on by the year 2025. Here's the thing, guys. We have over 155,000 people that die every day around the world without Christ. That's pretty sobering. And so there are more than 7,000 unreached people groups across the globe. 7,000 unreached people groups across the globe. This is why we need to increase the amount of missionaries. Amen? And so our convention has a goal of increasing that by 500. We know a certain young lady in our church who will be one of them. So there's one, okay? And we need 499 more, okay? And so we're excited about that. So that's strategic action number one. Here's number two. Add 5,000 new churches to our Southern Baptist family, giving us more than 50,000 Southern Baptist churches. 50,000 Southern Baptist churches. Now, is that to say that Southern Baptist churches are the only one that can reach people for Christ? Absolutely not, okay? We are focused on our SBC churches because that's who we are. But we understand that there are other churches that are not part of the SBC. They're doing great things for the gospel, okay? And we're glad about that. We're focusing primarily on Southern Baptist churches. So we want to add 5,000 new churches. More than 75% of Americans don't know Jesus personally. 75%. You know, a lot of times we think of America being a Christian nation. It really isn't anymore. And so church planting and revitalization will go a long way in reaching North America. And so that is the plan there. So then there's another one, strategic action number three. Increase our total number of workers in the field through a new emphasis on calling out the called and then preparing those who are called out by the Lord. So this is something that I do often. And I want to emphasize it more, is that we need to call out those who feel called, okay? We need to give an opportunity for our kids, our young adults, even adults who feel like God is calling them into ministry, whether it be to be a pastor or leader of a church or to be a missionary. We need to give those kids, those people, an opportunity to respond to that call. And so we need to emphasize that, to call out the called. And then prepare those who are called out by the Lord. You know, the world is in desperate need of men and women who will hear the call of God and serve in Great Commission work. And if we don't give people an opportunity to answer that call, if we don't emphasize that you can answer the call of God to be involved in ministry, then a lot of times it's not going to happen. So we need a renewed interest in doing that. Number four. Turn around our ongoing decline in reaching, baptizing, and discipling those under the age of 18. Guys, whether we believe, we want to admit it or not, we are beginning to lose the next generation of Christ followers. And many times, teenagers who are raised in church, when they leave their homes, many of them leave and never go back to church again. And so we need a renewed interest, or a renewed emphasis in reaching these younger generations. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. That's why we do things like that. We got to be very intentional about reaching those who are under the age of 18. Most people who come to know Christ do so before they become adults. And so we have to have a renewed interest on that. Okay? Number five, increase our annual giving to reach and surpass 500 million given through the cooperative program to achieve these Great Commission goals. The cooperative program, and we talked about it a lot, is the financial fuel for the Great Commission. It only makes sense that it needs to be increased in every church in the SBC. So that's something that we need to look at in our own church. We are to give a pretty significant amount. But what if the Lord wanted us to give more? You know, would we be willing to do that? And so every church needs to take a hard look at what we give, and does the Lord want us to give more to the cooperative program? Again, the cooperative program is churches putting their money together for a common goal of reaching people for Christ. That's a very short answer to a very complicated thing, but it's basically us giving a percentage of our money and putting it with other churches who give a percentage of their money, and it goes to fund our missionaries, Great Commission work, in our state convention and in our national convention. That's why it's called the cooperative program. We are cooperating with other like-minded churches to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so if we want to fully fund more missionaries, if we want to plant more churches and revitalize more churches, if we want to increase the total number of people who are called by God and to answer the call to God to go into the ministry, we need money to do that. And so we have to increase that. And now this next strategic action, there was originally five. Well, it was amended to add number six. And as we were talking about earlier, to prayerfully endeavor to eliminate all instances of sexual abuse and racial discrimination among our churches. This was amended again to add to Vision 2025. And I think, obviously, it's very important to do that. And so we need to begin doing that as well. I'm sure our convention will aid us in being able to do that as a convention, okay? Now, this is a lot of stuff, and it's a lot to be thinking about, but I wanted to share one more thing with you. You can be involved right now by praying for this Vision 2025. I think I've got another thing there. A next slide, Dennis. Should be one more. I hope so. Maybe it wasn't put in there. Okay, I'll get that to you later. But if you want to do this, everybody's pretty much got their phone with them today, right? We all got our phone, whether iPhone, Samsung, whatever. If you want to get daily prayer reminders about Vision 2025 and how you can pray, you can text the word vision to 90885. 90885. It's very easy. Leslie and I did it. They will give you very easy prayer reminders and how to pray specifically for these things each and every day. Okay? So again, you can text the word vision to 90885. There was also a QR code you could have scanned, but I don't have it up there. But anyway, if you do that, and I'll send that out later for anybody that needs a reminder to do that, okay? I see people doing it all around the room. That's awesome. Very good, okay? So, guys, let me just say, I feel like I've gone through this so fast, and maybe I've not explained it very well. Let me just say, I'm excited for us to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're not perfect. Our history is not perfect. We all have things in our past that we're not, that we're sad about. We all have things in our past that we're not proud of. But we are a part of a convention that I believe is focused upon the Great Commission of the Lord. And I think we have great days ahead of us. And I'm going to be encouraging us in all these strategic actions. I'm going to lead us to focus and emphasize the gospel in everything we do. Let me just say this, guys. The gospel is important. And if you are a Sunday school teacher or a community group leader or a VBS teacher, or you serve on a committee, or you serve in some ministry or volunteer at the pantry, that matters to the Lord. When you're teaching these kids in Sunday school and you think, they didn't hear a thing I just said, I want to encourage you to keep focusing on the gospel. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep focusing on the Great Commission, because that is what matters. And if we talk a really good talk, yeah, we want to see this generation saved. We want people to come to know Christ. We want to see people get baptized. If we want to see that happen, we got to focus on the gospel. Amen. We have to emphasize the gospel. And so the gospel has to be emphasized in everything that we do here as a church. And if it doesn't emphasize the gospel, we probably should not be doing it, because it's just taking up time that we don't really have. So everything that we do, every meeting that we have, every decision that we make should have the gospel in mind. And so The Lord just reminded me of that when I was at the convention. And if there was any reason that I needed to go there, it was for that reason alone. And I will do my best to make sure that we keep that focus in everything that we do. And I need to be a leader in that. That means I need to be a leader in sharing the gospel with other people. You need to see me actively doing that because it starts with me. And I don't say that to say I'm more important than anybody else, but I am the pastor of this church. And people need to see me doing that. And I will do my best to do that. And I will do my best to lead you in doing that as well. So in the same way that I'm excited about our convention, I'm excited about our church too. And I hope that came across today. That's what I wanted to happen. And if it didn't, maybe I can do it better next time. But guys, it's just neat to be a part of this church. It's neat to be a part of the convention. I wish every one of you could have been there. I think your heart would have been encouraged as well. I think you would have been motivated. When you leave something like that, it means like, man, I'm going to take on the world, you know. I can do it all. We can't do it all, but we can do what God has called us to do. And by the grace of God, we will do that. And we will emphasize the gospel. So no matter what you're doing, no matter what you do, it's not insignificant. Again, teaching those kids, when you open up your Bible and share the story, those kids do listen better than you think. And they do remember. You can look at my grandson Harrison and understand that. He's a wild man. I mean, he's a wild man. But you know what? He remembers those stories that they teach down in Sunday school. He can tell you most of the people. He can probably tell you names of people that most adults can't. Because he listens. And one day I have no doubt that he'll make a decision to be a follower of Christ. That's why it's important that we emphasize the gospel. What you do, teachers, is important. So don't lose sight of that. Whether you're teaching babies until you're teaching the older class like I do up here, it matters. The gospel matters. Proclaiming the gospel matters. So don't lose sight of that, okay? Let it be a part of your everyday life, okay? All right. Well, guys, that's it. There's more to share. Maybe I'll share some more later on, as time goes on. But I wanted to take a little bit of time this morning to kind of share some of the highlights. But, you know, I want us to sing a song of commitment as we always do. And maybe the Lord's been speaking to you this morning to make a decision or to reaffirm some things in your life that you need to be doing, you know, just like you did in my life, you know, this past week. In Leslie's life as well, she would tell you the same thing. So Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment. And as he does, just make those commitments to the Lord today. Take time to reaffirm what's most important, okay? Take time to say that I'm going to be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a Great Commission Southern Baptist member of a Southern Baptist church. I'm going to emphasize the Great Commission. And so as we do that, as we make that commitment, as we stand upon the Word of God, I believe we're going to see lots and lots of people come to know Christ. Let me just say, we have a special church here. We really do. And I don't say that just because I'm the pastor and I got to say stuff like that. I say that because I mean it. I look at other churches and I think how blessed we are to have our church here. Let me just say, we're a motley crew, aren't we? We really are. And we got all kinds of people. But that's the way heaven looks like, you know? And I want us to be a multi-generation, multicultural church. Because that's what heaven's going to look like. And so, we have a church, perhaps, that people can come to that they wouldn't feel comfortable going to another church. That's not to say other churches are bad or what they're doing is bad. They have people they can reach that we can't, but we have people that we can reach that they can't. That's what makes us special. And so we have something special here. So don't lose sight of that. Don't forget that. Love God, love people, share the gospel, and God's going to get the glory. That's what we got to do. Keep it easy. Love God, love people, share the gospel. God's going to take care of the rest, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you so much for this special time. Thank you, Lord, for our church sending us, me and Leslie, to the convention. We thank you for our convention. Father, we know that there were some disagreements. We know that there were some times that weren't pretty. But Father, overall, our convention is united and stands upon your word and is focused on sharing the gospel. And I'm thankful to be a part of a convention that desires to do that. I can feel good about being a part of a convention that is focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the encouragement that you put in my heart. And Lord, I pray that in return that I could just motivate our people in the same way. So Lord, today we just ask you to have your way in our lives. Whatever that looks like, whatever you want to do, Father, have your way in us as we can make these commitments to you now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.